following podcast is provided by Pinnacle Senior Placements, LLC, and Answers for Elders Radio.
And welcome back to Answers for Elders Radio, everyone. We are here again with our wonderful Daphne from Pinnacle Senior Placements. Daphne, welcome back.
Thank you so much.
You know, you are our expert spotlight this month on Answers for Elders Radio, and we are getting a lot of inquiries through this month as we've been talking about housing options. Is, you know, people don't know necessarily that there's different types. They just think, like you mentioned earlier in our earlier interview about don't put me in a home. There's this perception out there that senior living is like a nursing home, and that's just not the case. Mm-hmm. So would you kind of give our listeners a little overview of the different types?
Absolutely. I'll try and give that succinctly here because there are broad brushes that we're going to have to assume. I will make the distinction that I help people usually when they have to have help with their ADLs or activities of daily living. Mm-hmm. So most people I don't help are independent seniors, mm-hmm. Because that's very clear and evident, easy to see the independent living.
Right.
They
and
advertise
they don't need
differently.
Help that way.
No. And so the first area is independent living, and that's where there usually is not a care plan. There's nothing tied to, and again, they're called activities of daily living, mm-hmm. which includes bathing, toileting, walking, eating, showering. There's six
dressing.
Of them. Yeah, dressing.
Grooming.
There's six of them. Thank you. So those are usually not available. Usually in an independent living, you'll have a very active lifestyle. Mm-hmm. Activities will be geared to that. You also
oftentimes think, it's like an over 55
yes,
community.
Very much so.
A lot of times it's I know that there's a lot of like trailer parks or manufactured homes where seniors can live, you know, that it's an over 55. That's really common, isn't
yes,
it, Daphne?
It is common. And sometimes the piece of looking at independent living is because mom or dad just don't want to walk out in the rain to get their mail anymore. It's usually inside mm-hmm. a building sometimes. It's a broad spectrum of what that looks like. I had a woman just yesterday call and say, I want to move out of my house, but I need a garage. I want a garage. I'm keeping mm-hmm. my car, so find a place with a garage. The other thing is that we then move into assisted living. And assisted living usually is what that big apartment looking building that does provide some care and support for activities of daily living. It usually is where you have to be able, in my opinion, to advocate for yourself, that you know how to make mm-hmm. good decisions still, mm-hmm. That you, as a person who's receiving care and assisted living, would probably not isolate yourself mm-hmm. regularly, be open to work to mm-hmm. having meals with other people in a large dining room. Assisted living is getting very sophisticated in terms of feeling a lot like kind of cruise living a little bit,
yeah.
but with the addition of support with daily activities of living.
Oh, and the beauty of assisted living, which I love, you could come into a community and be completely independent and maybe need help with just bathing, mm-hmm. you know, and getting dressed because you may have a few little mobility issues and you just want a little support there.
Yep.
And they will provide that. And you can still stay in your apartment and drive your car and do different things like that and go down to a wonderful restaurant and have three meals a day and be spoiled like crazy. You don't have to worry about yard work. You don't have to worry about maintaining a home or property taxes.
Yep, yep.
Or,
all
which
those
are
things.
Crazy. Yeah. And then the nice thing about assisted living is that you can morph into having somebody take care of you as your needs increase, increase.
That's exactly right. So that's an environment that is pretty flexible with activities mm-hmm. of daily living and usually is most effective, in my opinion, again, with people who don't have cognition issues mm-hmm. Because cognition challenges are progressive.
Mm-hmm.
And I have some strong feelings about that I'd love to share at another time. But that is a very viable option in terms of stepping stone mm-hmm. your care.
Mm-hmm.
We then move into the option of memory care, as I had just said. And memory care is in most buildings now. You do have to have a formal diagnosis of some kind of dementia. There's
right.
over 100 different kinds of dementia. And it can be anything from very early onset. So you could be a younger person and still receive care. It could be that you're in the beginning stages to the end stages of a dementia process.
Right.
And in a memory care situation, you usually have anywhere from like 25 to, on average, maybe 60 people in the care community. Mm-hmm. Usually care ratio is about 1 to 12.
Yeah.
A caregiver there. And it also allows for very scheduled activities.
Which is really important for those that have memory issues.
Yep. for someone who has nervous energy and needs to have an outlet for that, they're usually bigger. So there's walking paths. There's the schedule of activities really keeps someone focused with their energy levels. And so that's one option. The fourth option that we have in the state of Washington, they're called adult family homes. And that's where you actually live in a home-like environment with a maximum of 6 people. You receive 24-hour care. They are regulated just like the assisted living and memory care are regulated, and they fall under the same licensing process that those other two communities do. The pluses of an adult family home are when someone needs a lot of care, heavy care, maybe bedridden, also the piece of somebody being in the beginning stages of memory cognition issues, being flexible to walking through that journey with them. Another benefit is sometimes if you feel like your loved one will be overwhelmed by a large community, a smaller community can be very, very appropriate.
Right. And I think, too, depending on your loved one, if your loved one is more social, they probably would do better in a larger community because they have the interaction.
They might, but I'll push back just a little bit on that because I'm going to make a broad statement here. Everybody's journey is unique and different. And so the assumptions that we sometimes make are just that.
Yeah.
But that person also might do better in a smaller environment where they feel empowered.
That's
where they
true.
Feel like the queen or king, where their contribution in life still matters.
Good point.
Sometimes you can get lost in that larger community and you don't have regular activities, particularly for men. I think when a man can be outside and there might be a project or just mowing the lawn and they can say, you missed that corner, they get to be the supervisor. You know,
that's important.
It is. It's the contribution to life. Again, all things have to be looked at uniquely.
So we are talking to Daphne Davis from Pinnacle Senior Placements. And Daphne, tell us about how you work with families in this process.
Well, the first things that happen is I get a phone call and then I say, can I meet with you? Can I meet with your loved ones? I am a pretty big stickler on I need to lay eyes on the people that I am interacting with. So I don't work over the phone. I don't work over the internet or the fax machine. I work face-to-face, eye-to-eye. So I meet with you as you feel is appropriate. And that's usually about an hour. Learn a little bit about what the story and the journey is. And then if it is appropriate for having some change in housing, I do research based on whatever family's highest values are. And then we tour together. So I really handhold you through the whole process. A theme that's kind of coming up for me is I'm learning that families really don't know what they don't know. And they're saying it now. They're have enough information exposed to them that they're like, I don't even know what that phrase means. I'm here to help you.
And you know, this industry is notorious for using phrases like ADLs.
Yeah.
Or CCRCs and all these things that we say in the industry that the average family looks at us with a blank stare and they don't feel like they should stop us and say, what does that mean? I mean, I love when they do.
Yes.
Because I think sometimes we say things and we just don't even realize what, even terms like assisted living. Again,
right.
What does that mean? And so to understand that we need to do a better job as professionals, but I think also the fact that you take that personal time with a family to help them understand the process, it takes so much stress off of it. And I think the other factor, which is the big factor, it's not my kids are pushing me to do something that I don't want to do.
Yes.
It's like it's empowering your elder. Senior elder to be able to say, you know what, I'm working with Daphne. Daphne knows and has heard what I have to say. I don't have any emotional you know, games or things that go on with my kids.
Mm-hmm.
And there's that dynamic, the big dynamic is I'm the mother. I'm
yes.
the father. And that will never change, by the way, folks.
No,
never.
It doesn't. And that's the dance that we have to learn how
yes,
to do.
Yes.
Is how do we, you know, I'm working with a couple families right now. I could tell you story after story of, you know, the daughter desperately wanting to make decisions for her parents, but her parents won't allow her. And she's got this undying commitment to honoring her parents. And how does she do the right thing and still keep that honor?
You be the daughter.
You be the daughter and you let Daphne come in and help you.
And, you know, what I have found, too, is there's so often that a senior will say something to you or to me that they will never say to their family
That's
member.
Right.
Because they don't want to lose face. They still are that parent. And I find that specifically mostly with men.
Yeah,
They don't want to feel vulnerable. And they don't want to be perceived as vulnerable in front of their children.
That's right.
So that's something I think that is really amazing how you come into the picture and help.
It does. And that gives me the place of honoring when a father or mother, and it happened just recently, the dad was so gracious of saying to his daughters, I hear what you're saying, but I can't process it as fast as you're saying it.
No.
And I trust you. And I just melted. This gentleman was, he's 93 years old, just melted.
No.
And I gave him so much honor to say, you just gave your daughters the best gift ever.
Yes, you did.
To let them know, I'll trust you and I hear the words and I just can't keep up with you. You know, it's just my brain's had 93 birthdays.
Yes. Well, sometimes at 62, I have the same issue. So, Daphne, how do we reach you?
You reach me at 855-734-1500 or at our website, which is Pinnacle Senior Placements. I also have three other people that are supporting in Pinnacle Senior Placements. That's Jolene, Erica, and Emily.
Wonderful, wonderful. And we look forward to learning more about them. And also, everyone, Daphne's services are free to families here, there again. So, again, it costs you nothing to have somebody like Daphne work with you.
And there's no hidden small little print with that. Truly,
yes.
It's free.
Well, we're thrilled to have you on the show again. Thanks and welcome back.
Thanks so much.
The preceding podcast was provided by Pinnacle Senior Placements, LLC and Answers for Elders Radio. To contact Pinnacle Senior Placements, go to pinnacleseniorplacements.com.